3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Illuminati Social Club. I'm your host, Jason from Parma. So, originally the plan was to come on to Discord with a few people and talk about the Freedom Convoy, which went across Canada and then ended up in Ottawa. And now there's also one apparently gearing up in the U.S., but I haven't heard much about it because the news, as I record this, is now pretty much all, Russia invaded Ukraine. So, I think that's a better story to start with. not better in that sense, but joining me, as he did for the episode Voltron of Crazy, where we talked about the QAnon conspiracy, I have Joel Squiddy, Squid Vicious on Twitter.
Yo.
What's going on?
It's a magical day today where we're seeing the weirdest grifters of in the world basically throw their dick out, and let's see what happens, I guess.
Yep. And also here is from Up in This Brain on Twitter, Jason.
Hey everybody, I'm just looking here at Twitter at the breaking news that Louis C.K.'s shows in Kiev are still they're still scheduled for this weekend.
Yeah, they really want Louis C.K. to perform there.
$11.70 US to get tickets.
All right. Ooh. But let's see.
You know, it's interesting to me. They have Louis C.K. and they have Spicoli at the same time.
Ay-yay. So, yeah.
Spicoli is there. So
Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine. I know yesterday he moved military hardware into friendly territories within Ukraine. And today, I guess he opened fire on Kiev. Is it still Kiev or is it still pronounced Kiev?
I think it's Kiev.
Kiev? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Kiev is...
The Cold War... The Cold War spelling used to be K-I-E-V.
Yeah.
Now it's KYIV, but it's all Cyrillic. So,
they're going with the Ukrainian pronunciation now.
Okay.
Which is Kiev.
Kiev. All right. So I will correct my style guide, and I will call it Kiev.
It's just weird to hear it because I've heard Kiev for so many years.
Oh, I know. Same here. That's why I
didn't
had to
until
ask.
The last couple of weeks. I was just like, and the first time I heard it, I was like, where are they talking about?
It's like, yeah. So let's see. And the worst part is I live in a Ukrainian village. It's a neighborhood of Parma. It was settled primarily by, of course, Ukrainian immigrants. If you go up the street from me or down the street south, you get to Polish village. So, you know, hey. I'm in a very international part of the city.
We have a lot of Ukrainians in Canada. I think we have the largest Ukrainian immigrant population in the world.
Hmm.
Not to brag.
Where are you again? I don't even remember.
I'm in Toronto.
Toronto, yes. Okay.
Or Tirana, as we
say. Tirana. Yeah. Toronto. We have we have a large Ukrainian population here. We're suburban, so we're not going to have a Toronto sized population here.
True.
So yeah, Putin. Let's see. Oh, according to Defense Secretary Blinken? Secretary of State. Russia plans to encircle Kyiv. So
okay.
Yeah. This isn't good. This is the opposite of good.
So I'm really opposed to interventionism, especially with a superpower like this. This would be disaster.
Yeah.
And I think the best thing we can do is take refugees.
Mm-hmm.
And then cut off economic sanctions or start sanctions. Not that they'll make a difference really, but just cut off trade. That's kind of all you can do. But I would not start a military intervention of any kind. It's a stupid idea.
Well, and Jason and I were talking about this before we started recording. I was reading a Twitter thread by David Frum, and one of the, he was going through that, you could end up having Polish, Slovakian, and other, the neighboring countries, they're soldiers on their own, not sanctioned by their country, coming in to aid the Ukrainian army, and just it would just turn it into a long drawn out Russia trying to occupy but ends up in a stalemate. And the thing is, if you do have Poland or any of these other countries coming in, what's Putin gonna do? Is he gonna attack Poland? So then you end up with NATO coming after you? End up with the whole, you end up with all of Europe and the United States coming in to say, hi, you attacked us.
So here's something, and I'm sure this is you guys might have discussed this on a different thing, but there is sort of a thought to why Trump was trying to disband NATO when he was in office.
Oh yeah.
Well, what do you guys think about that? Do you think that there's a connection?
there's hints of that. Yeah.
Just a few. It's kind of a hint in the same way that a giant sign saying I want to disband NATO is, a hint.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's only completely obvious.
Well, in last night's comment that Trump made, that he felt that, Putin was brilliant and he was complimenting this plan and the way he's doing this. I mean, he was on Fox News saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very over the top. Uh-huh. He's part of the Putin fan club, and
and so is Mike Pompeo.
And we left treaties, on purpose, so Russia could also leave the same treaties because they could use us as an excuse to also leave those treaties. I mean, there was definitely some sort of shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree.
Man, it's really freaky to think that. Oh my God! Like here, we've had this sleeper agent this whole time, who was blatantly saying, "Hi, I'm a sleeper agent," and we're like, "Oh, Trump, you're hilarious."
One of my chief of staff, General Flynn. He's also a sleeper agent, and I'm going to hire him, even though my predecessor said don't. Because he's a sleeper agent. I mean,
it's like the world's worst John Grisham knockoff, right?
I mean,
there's plot holes all over this fucking thing.
No shit.
Yeah. So here we are. I guess this was the 2 or 4 years of however long it's been of nightmare hell, just to lead.
Yeah. And now let's see, watching, I've been seeing clips from RT. Oh, I'm sorry. That would be Fox News supporting Putin. I'm sorry. That wasn't Russia Today. That was Fox News.
Tucker, what's his nuts, was on there last night also complimenting Putin. Mm-hmm. And saying, you know, if we had done more to... It's just like Flynn's letter. I mean, it's the same rhetoric that if we had done more to address Russia's problems with the Ukraine, this would have stopped. And you know, to a point, you kind of get part of it because yes, Ukraine has been long an area of instability, and it has been flung back and forth between pro-Russia and anti-Russia governments, and. You know, it has been a dangerous area, but it seems like, you know, now that they are finally in a area of stability, and that's where he's most threatened, you know, now mm-hmm. democracy really had a chance there. And so now that's another reason he has to come in and stamp it out.
Of course.
Well, I think that's probably the last item on his list. Aren't they sitting on a ton of natural gas?
Well, absolutely. Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, absolutely. It's the resources, you know. It's just, what's the flashpoint trigger that, you know, it's now or never. I mean, that's kind of I think that's where it just all came apart. Yeah, it was going to happen eventually. It's amazing it hadn't happened before, but I think, you know, the pressure was on. We've got to do something before they do join NATO, before this democracy strengthens. Yeah. Now's the time to get her done.
So this is what, you know, and I'm going to connect this now to the Canadian convoy, is the Canadian convoy, when you peel back all the layers, really comes down to it's the oil industry. I don't want to skip ahead, no spoilers, but yeah, it's the oil industry. They're behind all of these anti-Trudeau measures. Because they don't want to transition to a green economy, because they're not going to be the beneficiaries of that.
Right.
Yep.
And
so, in a lot of ways, they'd rather throw everything at I will say a man who's an easy target, but they'd rather throw everything delegitimizing our prime minister. Then progress.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, I completely agree, and we were talking about that here earlier today. The exact same thing, you know, this pressure that we have to move to electric cars, to move away from oil, gas. The pressure is on with these, you know, these companies, and they're going to do whatever they can to stay really in power, which is what they are, because money makes the world turn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Russia, of course, is that is a primary source of their economy. And they don't want to see us move to, tiny Toyotas with batteries in them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's a...
Remember two years ago, you had the you had the pandemic starting to heat up. Nigeria went and dumped a bunch of oil on the market, and then Russia decided they're going to dump a bunch of oil on the market, driving the price down to under $2 a gallon.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh yeah,
if I was in luck and had nowhere to go at the time, gas would have been really cheap.
So. Well, I So I was still going to work because I work by myself, and yeah, it was great, you know, being able to fill my car up once a week and, you know, like not break the bank. It was awesome. But I knew this ain't right. It's gonna, you know, it's gotta get worse. because it does. You know,
yeah.
All these people saying, oh, you know, it cost me this much to fill up my car. Thanks, Biden. It's like, well, no. You know, when gas prices were under $2 a gallon, that wasn't, you know, it was good in the short term. But that wasn't good. That was, you know, bordering on economic economic downturn, because yeah, you're going into a pandemic, and then you had some, you know, you had two countries dumping a bunch of oil on the market and, you know, just artificially driving the prices down.
And that's right. It doesn't make it worth your while if you're a big oil company here in the United States to keep drilling for oil when,
no,
you know, Russia's going to undercut you by 35-40%. So, of course, you stop and you stop doing these operations. Well, you can't just go out there like J.R. Ewing and turn this crap right back up. And she said today in the press conference, you know, we asked the oil companies why we're not producing more gas. The licenses are out there. They're just not doing it, or the leases. You know, mm-hmm. They're just not doing it. And, right, of course, they're not doing it because they're putting their money in the new technology, and they know that their time is now finite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then there's other companies that are taking the opposite approach and saying every drop, you know, mm-hmm. we're going to get every
drop. That's right.
And, you know, there's certain things that we are going to need oil for ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like synthetic rubbers, certain plastics, you know, burning it is kind of the best way to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also don't understand how we're all going to buy an electric car where most people can barely pay their mortgage or their insurance.
That's right.
Well,
so you're either
part of it
to create.
Go ahead. You're like kind of breaking up here. You like really broke up on that.
Sorry, I was saying please continue.
Well, I think in a lot of ways, you know, most people are counting on, you know, the technology to come down in price eventually. You know, right now it's still electric cars are, you know, up there in price. A lot of people afford them, especially here through like government subsidies and stuff like that. But it's not, you know, like for me, it's not practical at this point. We need, you know, you need a charger for it, which that's an expense. You just, you know, there's a lot. The price, the cost of entry is high right now. So you have,
you know, it's like the microwave oven. Remember when the microwave oven came out and it was like $600 and $700?
Yep.
And now you can go to Walmart and get one for $40.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the VCR, with the first VCR, the first CD player. Think of the first CD player you bought. So, oh my God, you know.
So here's the thing. My first LCD TV.
Oh, yes.
It was a 37-inch Insignia. Insignia. It's a Best Buy brand. Cost me, with tax and everything, over $1,000. I just bought a 55-inch Samsung for $400.
It's right,
and it's a 4K.
Cheaper.
Go ahead, Joel.
Oh, sorry. May still crap breaking up. I moved to a different room, so I'm hoping that'll help.
You're a little better.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's just it. There will be a reduction in price, but the problem is lithium is still at a premium. Mm-hmm. All these things to run electric cars are at a premium. And in a lot of ways, we should probably, especially as city folk, mm-hmm. get more the transit.
Yes. Oh, I agree.
It was a problem in a pandemic though, because
mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. At that point you want not so close together transport. you want two or three people per car. You don't want a packed subway train or anything.
Or just some sort of pneumatic tube, you know. Just,
oh yeah, there we go, Futurama style.
Yeah, exactly.
now I want to watch Futurama again. The thing is, you look at like when gas prices are high, you notice that you have a lot more companies out there working on rechargeable and renewable energy and stuff like that, and then gas prices drop, and we gotta close our doors because nobody's investing in us anymore.
Well, yeah, and
that makes sense. I mean, unfortunately, that makes sense.
Yeah, it is. This is the problem that I wonder how we're going to do this going forward. Mm-hmm. Because this continuous oil war at a point where we don't need oil or we don't want oil is seems counterproductive.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. On top of all this other fun, you had posted a story retweeted a story earlier that some jets were seen around Taiwan.
Yeah, I think I retweeted that with one word, and that was fuck.
Yep.
Fuck. Fuck.
Yep.
Yeah, so this is terrifying, because what this feels like is a coordinated move to mm-hmm. seek territory and as quickly as possible.
Right.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if this is just the logical extension of where we're going in, like, within capitalism. Like, when you think about like how most stores right now are owned by an umbrella corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can go to, like, myself, I can go to any mall in Canada, and it's got the same shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like,
same here.
Right? And I wonder if this is just going to come down to all the little countries are going to get swallowed by these big countries, and we're just gonna start becoming monopolies in countries.
Monopoly nations.
Monopoly nations, yeah. Like, maybe Russia's just acquiring Ukraine, you know what I mean?
Hmm. Oh, man.
You know, like, in a shitty way, but seems like it fits.
Let's see, according to a tweet on Twitter, a Twitter tweet thing from Anonymous. The Anonymous Collective has taken down the website of the Russian propaganda station RT News.
Mm-hmm.
Good, now do Fox News.
Welcome back, Anonymous. I think the original guys are gone, so mm-hmm. I don't know who...
Well, there's really no you had a few figureheads, but for the most part, it's just it is truly an anonymous group. I mean, there's no basically they're a hydra. You cut off one head and two more grow. I mean,
thank God, because honestly, I like the OG Anonymous. Mm-hmm. I just had a memory of right before Trump, after kind of Anonymous was huge, and then they were starting to get taken out and arrested and all that. There were Anonymous videos that were coming out, but they were getting a really like right wing and really Christian-y. And I'm just now thinking that was probably the beginning of all this dumb shit that we're living.
Could be. It's... This is... I don't even know. Where are we going? I think we need... Let's see. We need NATO. Thank God. Thank God the last guy didn't, didn't screw that up too badly. To the point where, we still, it still exists. Glad to see RT News is down. I have not checked to see if it is down for real, but
RT used to have a lot of leftist content too.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize now, kind of coming through the other side of it, I used to watch that stuff nonstop, and some of the shows just got really like kind of too left. I don't know if there's such a thing, but it just felt way too left in some cases. When Russia was starting to become more of a fixture in world politics, the left side sort of got louder.
Right.
So I'm wondering if like that's the disinformation campaign, is they get both sides of the spectrum fighting. So I wonder if there's like a whole left bot army that stirs up stuff too.
I just looked at the RT site and it's it looks like it's been fiddled with. You have a lot of like just HTML text and then large photos. Like it's like the mobile site is on the it's trying to load onto a browser now. So it's like, they're redirecting or something, but it's they probably DDoS'd it. So
oh man. So it's going to be down for a while.
I don't like living through this history.
It's weird.
I want to go to a different history. Now, like, before you got in here, we were talking about 91, pretty much the fall of communism. And I remember, I remember when the wall fell, and it was like that. That was just, well, I was supposed to go to Germany for a school trip, and that was in 1988. And it was around, obviously, it was around that time that things were starting to bubble up in Germany.
Yeah.
And then the who was it? The foreign minister, or yeah, I think it was the foreign minister. Made a mistake in something he was supposed to say over the next, you know, within the next few months, we will allow travel between East and West. And instead, he cut off the first part and just said, we're allowing travel between East and West, and it caused chaos. And then it just turned into, you know, a storm of like good things to the point, you know, yep. To the point where people were hammering down the wall, and David Hasselhoff was there in a jacket filled with light bulbs. Jason, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. But he's so popular over there.
Oh, I know. So yeah, I that was like the big thing I remembered from the weirdest thing I remember was just David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, you can't hassle the Hoff though.
So let's see what else, you know, where else do we want to go with this discussion? You know, we've somewhat talked about the trucker convoy, but,
we should circle back to that.
Yes.
Sure.
'Cause this is the original conversation we were supposed to talk about. And so where did it start? Like, it started in Vancouver, didn't it?
No, it started in, I believe, Calgary, somewhere in Alberta.
Of course, the Florida of Canada.
So I suppose I'll just, you know, for the listeners, I'll give a quick summary of Canadian culture.
Okay.
We have basically one province that is super duper Bible Belt American. Somehow. And then we have the left of them. You've got this hippie California, and to the right of them, you've got like Ohio. And then
pretty much just lots of a few cities with lots of nothing in between them.
That's right. And yeah. then you start getting into more complicated territory until you're kind of in the East area, which is very liberal. And then you go a little bit further east, and then you're in the Newfoundland area, which is basically like Irish, Welsh, Celtic culture within the context of being Canadian, and then there's French people in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a very complicated cultural landscape. But the Albertan
and Doc Pinko,
so the Albertans have all the oil reserve,
right? And
so they have a lot of economic say, but they also feel like they've got the least amount of representation. And so they get really bitchy and whiny. I know this because I'm from there. That's where I grew up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's fine, because it's what pushed me east. Mm-hmm. was growing up in Alberta. It's very, like, the culture there is very, very capitalist. It's all about the entrepreneur, the myth of the cowboy.
Right.
It's very, very Republican. There's a lot of churches. There's a lot of Ukrainians. There's a lot of Greeks. It's an interesting place. But it's also got gorgeous mountains on one side and then prairie on the other. Hmm. So, yeah, even the geography in a lot of ways is two different worlds. So growing up there, there were kind of like the cities were full of liberals, or any liberals that there were in the cities, but most people were conservative.
Right. So very much Ohio.
Very much Ohio.
If you look at a political, you know, if you look at a county by county map in Ohio, you'll see, let's see, two cities up north, that would be Cleveland and Toledo. Right in the middle, that's Columbus. Dayton to the west, Cincinnati to the southwest, but they're a little more purple. The rest of these are all blue, like, you know, very Democrat counties. And then you have Youngstown, which is very, very, very dark blue. But yeah,
yeah.
And then the rest of Ohio is bright red.
So that's basically like Alberta. Mm. It's very much like the lefties are super cool. They're super cool because they've had to play nice with conservatives their whole life. Hmm. So they kind of know how to speak to conservatives because they've had no choice, right?
Very slowly.
Sorry. And you know, just meet them on their level. But mm-hmm. but they I'm sorry, I don't mean to do a huge monologue, but
No, go for it.
So Alberta elected conservatives for about 50 years, maybe more, for a long time. Mm-hmm. They had a socialist government for a minute, and they got a lot of like really good things kind of set into the provincial, I guess, for lack of a better word, constitution. Hmm. And then for 50 years after that, it was conservatism. So they just were chipping away at every social institute, which used to be very, very strong in Alberta, until they kind of hit the bottom because the oil prices fell out. Mm. And this was actually before the pandemic. Hmm. And so, you know, everybody, the conservatives couldn't do anything for them anymore, because they had chipped away at the social infrastructure and they didn't have any money because they had been vote buying for 50 years. Hmm. You know, by slashing regulations. So this is a government that had no income other than the oil industry.
Wow. So
when the oil industry collapsed, Alberta, for the first time ever, elected an NDP government, which is a socialist labor government.
Right.
And the NDP... basically started repairing everything, and it was going really well. And then when Trumpism took hold, we elected a liberal prime minister. One of the first things he said he was going to do was impose a gas, like an energy tax, on oil and gas. And that awakened the beast.
Right.
So after Trump got elected, every single conservative premier followed the same thing that Trump did and hired some of the same like Facebook brainwashing agencies.
Mm-hmm.
They made the same playbook as Trump, and almost every province ended up with a conservative premier. So with a liberal federal government. So basically you have a war coming. It would be like this, all the states are Republican and the entire House and Senate are Democrat.
Right.
That's what we're kind of living in right now. So what's happening with that is these premiers are cutting social services, which for us, healthcare is like sacrosanct, and they're starting to chip away at it.
Yes, because what you really want is the American system where, if you don't have lots of money, die.
So, which we wouldn't, as Canadians, we would not accept this if somebody said it out loud.
No, of course not.
But how these guys do it is they come in sideways. They mm-hmm. come in with the wage issues, the folksy shit, the I'll save you 10 cents at the pump, I'll do this, I'll do that. And Doug Ford, our premier, he did some stunts where he like hired extras to play his supporters for news conferences, which drummed up real support. He did Trump shit, but that's what they did. So anyway, back in Alberta, the newly elected Jason Kenney, who got there, he's being investigated by the RCMP as well for how he got elected. But basically by shady brainwashing tactics. He is also a devout evangelical.
Yeah.
He's a Pray the Gay Away convert.
Oh, lovely.
So he's basically asexual, and because he can't, well, this is, I don't know. I can't. It's just rumors.
Right.
That he has some unrequited love. But anyway, he starts whipping up this anti-Justin Trudeau stuff.
Oh, lovely.
And it catches on because it also starts getting amplified on the QAnon channels.
Mm-hmm.
And so Canadian Q kind of takes hold of this with memes like showing a picture of Justin Trudeau with Castro's face sort of superimposed over it to be like, hey, look, they're related. That's his son.
I have heard about that from a podcast I listened to, which I'll get into a little later.
Well, these kind of memes just start going on, and there were political tactics like suddenly the conservatives have hired these kids to dress up in a banana suit and hand out flyers that say Trudeau is bananas. Which was about a week before the blackface scandal.
Oh, yeah.
And they were trying to connect the two things. Because I guess Trudeau had a banana in his pocket as well in the photo. Or one of the older photos, not the one where he pretended to be Aladdin.
Right.
Because of what? Anyway, so Trudeau gets discredited with the blackface scandal, and that just like that gave everybody the moral authority to call him every name in the book and now I think a lot of people of color who have spoken out about it say, you know, that was he was more a product of the era. But I don't know. It reeks of white privilege to me.
And I thought so. And I just want to say, and I know, it might some might disagree with me, but I thought his handling of it, his response to it was very, like, kind of classy. Like, he didn't distance him, you know, he didn't try to distance himself from it or, you know, say fake news or anything like that. He admitted to it, said it, you know, and he apologized, and his, you know, his record since has been, you know, a lot better.
Yeah. And I think that he's, you know, at least on a symbolic level, he's been very inclusive. You know, I personally think policy wise, it could be better, but, you know, whatever. We're making steps. So that's what liberals make them. They make those steps to make them small, but we're going. Oh, and I forgot to mention that Justin Trudeau's father, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, was prime minister in the 70s.
Right.
And there was, and then again in the 80s when he created Petro-Canada, which was a national gas station chain. The Alberta felt that was a betrayal because they thought they should be able to sell the oil on the market and not have this national oil thing, which would have been amazing because it would make us a lot more robust to these boom and bust cycles because we would own our own reserves, right? But, you know, so Alberta fucked us on that, but they also were fucked in their own way. A lot of people lost their jobs. So there is a generational grudge against anything with the last name Trudeau.
Right.
So it was very easy to kind of whip this sort of stuff up, and it's been percolating until a point where they, and including this premier, Jason Kenney, the right-wing media and Jason Kenney started sharing photos of empty grocery store shelves.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that, and it's like, you know, where they were doing this to Biden as well here in the U.S., you know. You know, where's the bread? And like we have somebody running here by the name of Josh Mandel here in Ohio. He's running for a Senate seat. Dear God. But he did the same thing, but man, no, see, the thing is nobody likes him. So he posted that and somebody's like, yeah, I was just in this grocery store, you know, today, and he took a picture, and there's like bread every, you know, on all the shelves. he's like yeah, there's plenty of bread.
Well, and this is the fucked up thing about us right now as humanity is we live so much of our lives on our phones that a lot of people will just take the word of their social media
go
verify it in the actual real world, right? So you can just post like nonstop bullshit, and only some people are gonna like fact check you on it, and everybody else is gonna think it's the truth,
right?
And especially if you've delegitimized the media, which our right wing as yours did, totally, like Canadians are now have fake newsitis too. So, sorry, this is such a long tangent. Anyway.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, this helps to explain where, you know, like where a lot of this comes from. I mean, you know, in Canada, it's like, you know, Canada's always been to me like, you know, socialist paradise.
That's right. That's the trick. They in a lot of ways, they kind of want you to think that, because then you think, oh, nothing can go wrong in Canada. But we're complicated. So, yeah, a lot goes wrong all the time here.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, so Jason Kenney starts tweeting out these things about empty shelves. Everybody's, you know, there's kind of like a reality war on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
People are going, no, here's my grocery store this morning. Here, you know, posting full shelf pictures. And then they say, oh, this convoy is leaving because, you know, the truckers can't deliver food because of the vaccine mandates. So this is how it starts.
Right.
And the then we as Canadians find out that 90% of truckers are vaccinated and deliveries are happening just fine. So it's this 10%, and these are only the 10% that have reported their vaccination. So it could be an even smaller number. It could be a slightly larger number too, but anyway, this tiny convoy of semi trucks starts rolling from Alberta, and then it starts collecting other trucks along the way, and then just sympathizers.
Of course.
So by the time they reach Ottawa, this convoy is full. It's like a fucking juggalo fest. It's like people are there to party. They're, you know, they've all been snorting like straight QAnon the entire time. So they're all trading conspiracy theories. You know, I didn't mean to compare the juggalos to conspiracy theorists. Juggalos, I very much apologize. It turns into this big wacky party and this family, and it's very Christian because they stop to pray at certain parts of the day, and it becomes pretty clear that this is an oil lobby and evangelical right wing joint effort.
Right.
And so, but then the organizers, we have a white supremacist who is big into the replacement theory idea. So who's called for violence repeatedly. And he's now the star of the show. Then we have another lady named Tamara Lynch, who is an Alberta separatist. She believes that Alberta should be its own country or join the United States.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
No, we don't want that.
Oh, you'd think that, but I think it's kind of the plan.
We have a Bible Belt already. We don't need another one.
But then you get all our oil, and then we're just customers of your oil. See, this is why this idea kind of has legs. Like, they couldn't exist on their own, as their own country. They would have to join the States.
Okay, we'll take Alberta. You could have Texas.
You know what? No, we're going to take California.
No.
We already have a trade deal going on. So.
No. We need those 55 electoral votes here.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
And then the other two organizers, one's a QAnon dude, and the other one, I think, has ties to the Sons of Odin, which is... They're like a white supremacy biker gang.
Right? Uh-huh.
So those are the stars of this show. And then what they bring with them are all these normal red-pilled fucking idiots, because these guys think that it's about freedom and free speech, and they're so addicted to American television that they're completely out of touch with Canadian laws and rules and culture. Like, we don't really have a culture of free speech. We have a culture of free expression.
Mm-hmm.
So that means like hate speech is not allowed.
Right. That is here as well. Well, it's so here it's a little, I think it's a little dicier, but you know, like, you know, hate speech that, how do I put it? Hate speech that results in, basically the subjugation of a group is illegal. It's hard. I can't explain it. If I wrote it down, I could explain it, but I can't talk a meaning into existence. So go ahead.
It's basically like, this convoy is basically a Trojan horse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The outside of it is normal conservative churchy people who are just there because every Facebook post they've read is saying that, you know, communism is here in Canada and his name is Justin Trudeau. So they're basically been fed this total lie that we're drifting into communism.
No. Well, I was gonna say I kind of wish Doc Pinko was here, Steve Cloutier, because he is a communist. And you know, because I guarantee you, he would say that pretty much, you know, the most leftist person in, you know, the most leftist politics in Canada are still to the right.
It's very true.
I mean, and in the U.S., it's even further right. You know, our most our most democratic socialist, Bernie Sanders, is still to the right of what most think is, you know, full on socialism.
Well, he's about equivalent to Jagmeet Singh in Canada, Bernie Sanders.
Right.
So the NDP are they're still capitalists. They're just capitalists with the guardrails on.
Right.
Which, you know, might be okay. I think it's probably a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
Because we still want to keep these markets for now. There's still things we want to do, but we need to start putting the regular folk protections back into things.
Right.
Because all that's happening is the money's just sucking to the top and everyone else is a pawn to play against each other in this stupid oil war board game.
Mm-hmm. go ahead.
No, but anyway. So the trucker protest on the surface looked like it was about freedom. But it was started, funded, and promoted by some real bad dudes.
You still there?
Oh yeah, I'm still there. Okay. Sorry. I wasn't sure whether that was the delay.
Hmm. So
Yeah,
it's I was watching a lot of this, and they end up in Ottawa and then they start blockading.
Yeah.
The U.S. border.
Yeah. So this is the point where it changed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So for a while it was a party.
Right.
And then the blockade started. And on the Alberta side, one of the semis had something like 18 weapons, body armor, which, you know, if you're listening from the U.S., there's no guns allowed in Canada that are not registered. Body armor is not allowed unless you're, you know,
right.
military police. These are considered, stockpiling weapons is against the law.
Right.
So this is a big deal. We find 18 weapons and some body armor in one of the convoys, and investigations continue, and there is a murder plot attached to it, but they won't say. I don't think they've released who the intended target was. Mm. But then it starts to get ugly. And then that's when it gets weird, because the occupation in Ottawa, the people of Ottawa are starting to feel under siege. They're starting to feel held hostage.
Right.
These trucks are blowing their horns at all hours of the night. There's the nonstop partying. People are yelling freedom at the top of their lungs. They're getting drunk and intimidating people on the street. They're just being shitty.
Right.
But yet they're still partying with their own people. Mm-hmm. So it looks like really like a peace love event on the inside, because they're with their own people.
Mm-hmm.
But every interaction outside of that group is starting to get more and more ugly.
Hmm.
Now we have, just like I assume you guys do, there's a jurisdiction to policing.
Right.
So the Ottawa police couldn't get it under control and also had sympathizers in their midst.
Gee, there's a surprise.
So they were really not really, they weren't really enforcing things. They mm-hmm. were, they would, you know, maybe arrest a person or two and just drive them down the street and let them go. There were all these interesting stories about the sympathetic police. Then the Ontario police showed up and sort of same thing. They couldn't mobilize enough of them. They couldn't get it done. All they could really do was contain the crowd into that area.
Mm-hmm.
So this becomes an occupation. Finally, after what was it, two and a half weeks, the Prime Minister finally calls the Emergencies Act.
Right.
And this is giving him the authority to, because by now, intel has come in that this is being funded by like seditionists, basically. Mm-hmm. This isn't like a regular protest. So he calls the Emergencies Act, which absolutely fucking had to happen because they were never going to leave.
Mm-mm.
They were being paid to stay there as long as they could. Not everybody, just the key players were being
mm-hmm.
paid something like $5,000 a day just to stay there. So this was a very well-funded plan.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
and then when the Emergencies Act gets called, the calls for authoritarianism, oh my God, see, we were right, this is turning into communism, which, by the way, is just, you know, as you know, is shorthand for scary thing I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So they now currently feel like they're justified in this response. And but the biggest thing that really surprised people was the organizers' bank accounts being frozen. Or I think they did a blanket freeze, and then they started to release accounts as people were kind of cleared.
Right.
So most of the accounts have been unfrozen, except for legitimate bad actors. And then, of course, I don't know what they're doing with the, I don't know, I think it was like 4 million in donations from the state.
Yeah.
So there was like, Canadians funded it mostly. It was like a lot of business owners and people like that. A lot of truck company owners, a lot of oil and gas people. We're kind of a lot of real estate people, like anybody who's just kind of like kind of a business tyrant who's like super right wing. They in Canada kind of threw a significant amount of money in it. And then there was all these like little tiny donations, and those are all just like the internet pilled people. So they're not going after their accounts.
Right. And then I did hear that you know, it did, you know, it has been finally broken up, and is there anyone left in Ottawa?
No, not in Ottawa, but I think there's another one starting to coalesce somewhere else. I just started seeing rumors of it. I can't remember.
I know. I did hear that the Canadian government has now revoked the Emergencies Act.
Yeah.
You know, they said that, see, it's authoritarianism. Oh no, they revoked it. Well, darn.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the thing that I think a lot of, free dummies, don't understand is that there's a difference between society and anarchy. And if you want to live in a society, you don't have total freedom. You're never going to have it.
No.
If you want to live in anarchy, you're going to have total freedom, but you know, then you don't get the societal protections.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, although I was listening to on Zillow, I was listening to some convoy people just talk. It was just like a open chat, and their perfect utopia sounds exactly like communism. So I think as long as they get Jesus in there somewhere, it's fine. That's really all they want.
Communism with Jesus. freedom in a society is not freedom. Yeah, it's freedom within limits.
Well, I look at it like
it's free, because if everyone is absolutely free to do anything they want, then you have, you know, you don't have to respect your neighbor.
Yeah, it's the idea is like I think of like. Freedom is earned. It's earned through sacrifice or compromise. That's how freedom works, because the idea of the individual is a really great idea if you want to separate people and atomize them and just keep them from rising up.
Right.
And that kind of is the core of a lot of these movements. It's the idea that there is no society. There's only you, and you make the world better by making your personal best choices. But then the thing that's great about that is that also means that you can tell people that you can solve X, Y, and Z problem by purchasing X, Y, and Z product.
Right.
So it's kind of no wonder to me that this idea of freedom has kind of morphed into anarchy, because all these people are thinking of themselves as individuals and not part of a collective unit. It's why they don't want to wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's me, and I'm the best, and I'm the greatest, and why would I wear a mask? I don't want to get vaccines because I don't know what's in it. It's not about what's good for everybody. It's about just thinking of yourself as the center of everything.
Right.
And that makes it really tough to resist that, because these people are also being told that unions are bad, collective action is bad, communism is bad. All these things that are communal or community based. I'm not making a judgment on authoritarian communism. I'm just saying like the ideal.
Right.
You know, all these things that are for society seem like the free dummies might not realize, but they're basically tearing them apart. And it's not freedom to do that. End of my rant there.
Oh, no problem. You mentioned the Zello chats. And I heard, so I listened to a podcast called the QAnon Anonymous podcast.
Oh, yeah. Big fan of that one.
Oh, my God. That is fantastic. And they just had an episode on the Freedom Convoy. And they were talking to an infiltrator into the upper, the inner chat and stuff. And he ended up being made a moderator. And he moved everyone to his own channel.
Oh, man. Yeah, I heard this guy. This guy is a legend.
So, a little glossary here for, it's a glossary of one item. And that is if you out there are, reading about, the aftermath or, the lead up and stuff to this, you will hear some of the infiltrators be referred to as ranchers. Because they were basically these people were the anti trucker convoy people were going into these chat rooms, and they were playing a song called Ram Ranch.
Yeah. Do not Google Ram Ranch with kids around. It is not safe for work.
No.
But it's fucking funny. It is this like kind of hard metal song,
mm-hmm.
with a guy's kind of strained voice just talking, and
it is of how to put it, it glorifies the we'll just say, like, the same-sex relationship between ranch hands. How's that?
Yeah, it's a it's basically like a fake advertisement for a Brokeback Mountain themed resort getaway.
Ah. Oh, but yeah. If you're interested in learning about any of this stuff, like QAnon and stuff like that, check out the QAnon Anonymous podcast. It is something else.
It's good. And they dig deep. And,
oh yeah.
And you begin to learn who these players are.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I know, unfortunately, I know all about the Queen of Canada.
Oh, Renata.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
she was in Ottawa, wasn't she?
No, she wasn't. She was, I think she was starting her own thing in Calgary, was it? Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't remember. But yeah, she came out for her loyal subjects. Mm-hmm. Oh no, was she at Ottawa? She might have been.
I think she was. She was talking over a bullhorn. And still had all the energy of a dead battery.
Yep. So this is what the internet has done. The internet has taken people who you would walk by on the street and they'd be trying to hand you a flyer about how monkeys are peeing in your soup every day. You'd normally just walk by those people and leave their flyer alone. Mm-hmm. But now they get a Facebook page and then they can talk to other people about monkeys peeing in their soup every day until everybody thinks monkeys are peeing in your soup every day.
Yeah. Because monkeys are peeing in your soup every day.
It's true. And that's why I'm now the king of Canada. So you see, that's how these things work, right? Like you just, yeah, the internet is wild. It's all these things are being given weird movements behind them. It's bizarre.
So I was, and this kind of, to me, this is the internet. So earlier this week, a story came out from some tabloid rag site that the Queen of England is dead. And somebody came out from the site and, you know, said that, you know, it was posted in error and stuff. But then the founder, the owner of the site, came out and said, no, we stand by our original report. And I don't know who that intern was. Because we haven't received official word from Buckingham Palace. So it's like, okay. So in order to report that the Queen is dead, you just need like a friend of a friend who read this on the internet in order to post it. But in order to retract it, you need an official statement from the royal freaking family.
Yep. So that's where we're at now.
That's the internet, ladies and gentlemen. You can say whatever you want, but if it's wrong, you have to have every single detail in order for somebody to retract it.
So this is why the internet pre social media was kind of like a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might be able to email your friend something stupid about Bigfoot.
Right.
But it would take you like a long time to like download it. And during that time, you'd think about it, be like, you know what? It's kind of bullshit. Forget it.
Yep.
And you'd cancel it. And now that it's all instant and everywhere and nobody's can filter anything.
We need to go back to 1200 baud modems and text only websites.
Yeah, man.
There we go.
Yeah, I wanna like have all my digital information fit on a magnetic disc.
Yes.
You know?
Or CDs.
CDs were right. CDs are fine. Physical media.
Well, I have an Apple IIgs sitting over here on a table. You know, that's it. That's all I want. I'll mail you a disc of all my ideas.
See, my favorite was the lampshade iMac. Mm-hmm. If everything stopped there, I would have been good forever. Would have been fine.
This is The thing is, we could probably go on for hours talking about this stuff because it is so multi-headed. Unfortunately, you know, with because it all comes back to Q. This is the weirdest thing.
Yeah, and then like, it also comes back to evangelical oil billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that seems to be where it all points to.
Oh, so yeah, I think we have. I think I'm exhausted for today. We haven't exhausted this topic. The topic has beaten us. We'll have to come back and talk some more.
Absolutely. The rich tapestry.
Oh yes, fascinating stuff. Maybe within this, you know, maybe at some point I'll get my hands on the documents about how to red pill family and friends.
Ooh.
And we could discuss that. That would be something. Upcoming discussion because that is scary.
I'm into it.
So, Joel, where can people find you out there?
You can find me on Twitter. My name is Squid Vicious, and my handle is at Squid.
You could find me at Alien CG, and you can find this podcast at Illuminati Pod. Ladies and gentlemen, well, first of all, Joel, thank you for joining me.
There's
always a great conversation with you. And also, you can reach, I don't know if Jason wants me to tell people where to find him, but you know, it's up in this brain, but if you can, if he allows you to follow him.
Sorry, Jason, I drowned you tonight.
But yeah, thanks, Jason, for joining us as well. And we had an audience of two here in the Discord. But yeah, I'd like to do is do like a monthly show of just odd news stories. So if you have any odd news stories, tweet at me at Illuminati Pod. And maybe I'll end up talking about them. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. And don't get pilled, please. And stay away from freedom convoys. They are up to no good. Have a wonderful week, everyone.